Okay, let's go ahead and get started with, this is the Vanguard Academy board meeting for August 27th, 2019. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll start with the roll call. This is Kent Johnson, Board Chair.
Darren Jenkins, Board Member.
John Jenkins, School Counselor.
Joy Palmer, Curriculum Director.
David Kingston, Vice Chair.
Suzanne Owen, Director.
Marie Evans, Assessment and Operations.
Stephanie Evans, Minute Taker.
Eric Freeman, Board Member.
And not present board members are Scott Kingston, Grace Mitchell, and
Kim
Mingham. So. Okay, first item on the agenda, are we ready for the agenda? Is public comments. Anybody have any public comments? Nobody else is here, so we'll go on to the next one. We'll approve the minutes. Does everyone have a copy of the minutes? We have two different meetings we have to approve minutes from. One, the last board meeting was an electronic meeting, and the one in June 25th. So go ahead and get a copy. We have a copy up here.
Need to approve both of them separately or both?
Might be together.
Last time we did them together.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes for both board meetings, say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. Okay, the voting is unanimous. The minutes have been approved. The next item we'll go to is the director's report. I'll turn the time over to Suzanne.
Okay.
Do you want to do that
first?
Points?
Report
of the school year.
That's right. Open points.
Okay,
yeah, let's do it. Okay, excellence. That's our first one. How's the excellence going in our school? How are we doing with excellence in our school?
Well, I'm going to start with the representation of our student government in our school. We started the year out with a really nice training that Joy arranged with the Love and Logic, and we collaborated with a couple other schools, so we had visitors in our school, and our student government was quite a presence, and it was very impressive to them. Really exhibited excellence. The greeter was dressed in a suit and welcomed them, and the building was ready for them. So I think that we've got quite a nice representation from our student government this year. They're also starting the students on some vision boards, and they've determined the theme to be 2020 vision for this year, because it's the class of 2020. So they're really working hard to try to reach out to all the student members in the school and get them involved and working together on that. So, and they will still continue to do our morning announcements. We have the Pledge of Allegiance with the student government every morning, and then they do the announcements at the end of the day. We do need to work more on making sure that they are streamlined and that it's a real positive, excellent message that goes out every day. And speaking of the training that Joy gave, made arrangements for and wrote a grant for and received it, the Love and Logic, it really has guided me in addressing our procedures, particularly ones dealing with students' behaviors or attendance and dress code and different kinds of issues. So rather than having a penalizing policy or procedure, it's more trying to really address the needs of the student and find out where they're coming from and how we can help them to be successful. So rather than, you know, they're out of dress code, then we're going to find them and send them home and whatever else. Mm-hmm. We're looking to what is our ultimate goal in everything that we're doing. So, for instance, with the dress code, the ultimate goal would be that we get them in class in uniform. Mm-hmm. And so we do whatever it takes within reason to make sure that happens. So I think those kinds of things are the things that are really going to help us, I think, in setting the tone and creating that excellence in the hearts of our kids.
Good. Any other comments in the school list? Let's go to our next one is work release. Are we getting credit for that? Is that still?
I need someone that wants to go to school to be endorsed in that. So I guess the next step is just
the fund.
It's an endorsement on top of your bachelor. So if you already have a bachelor's, any of our teachers that would want to get an endorsement, and I don't know if it's a full endorsement, but there are certain courses, training that you have to take in order to be able to offer that as a CTE credit, mm-hmm. or the funding for it.
How many more classes is it?
Catherine Johnson has all of that information. I think it's 4 to 6, but not positive.
4 to 6 classes.
Yeah.
Should you identify a teacher?
If you can identify someone who wants to do that.
See if they would.
Catherine right now is feeling like her foot is a little full, and so she's not wanting to do it right now.
Yeah. Who's the next closest?
Anybody that wants to go on strike, any of our licensed staff, anybody with an bachelor's.
You
have to have a teaching degree, a counseling degree, or a special ed degree.
What schools qualify to do that? Western Governors, or is that
I'm not sure which courses, but the state would have identified the courses necessary.
Yeah, specific courses
to receive that endorsement. It seems like it might have been in Utah State.
If the endorsement falls under SAEP, it's possible that we could get someone who is interested to apply for the SAEP, which is a state-approved endorsement program. Mm-hmm. And if they approve it, then they can operate as if they have that endorsement as they're going through the program. Mm-hmm.
Okay, leave it open. Get a bit on the new accept of we.
It's been a full year.
I know. Perfect. any new progress on that?
On the exit?
Yeah, getting a bit on it.
No, and I didn't see anything on the budget proposal for next year to include it either.
So Grace was
the last I knew, Grace was going to check and find out whose responsibility it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just read that note, so leave that open for her. And the next one is Kathleen can make a proposed amendment to our charter. We get a list for the next steps?
No. That's
the next step, okay. Okay, we'll leave it open for next time. How soon do you think do we need to have that started?
Probably about 3 years.
Three years before?
To start.
But don't we have to How soon, we don't know how soon we need.
I shared some projected numbers with you. So I the last time we had them, I think it's the 2024.
Here, that we'll have to, okay.
What about amending even the graduation requirements on that?
Those small amendments don't require the 18-month grade, but yeah, that would be something.
So the if it's 3 years out, we need to go 18 months before that? So we've got a year,
we've got a year and a half to 2 years, I think, before we need to start putting our proposals together.
So should we put this on the pegboard, or should we keep it here for 2 years?
Well, it could be here really for some of the things Joni mentioned, because right now our charter says every kid will take music every year, every kid will take math every year, or 4 years of math.
Yeah, it says every year, but the wording of it is not.
I'm not sure it says every year. It might say every year or 4 years, four credits.
It says credits,
four music credits. So we just probably want to look at the wording of our charter and make sure that we are feeling like the best should stay the same, or if we need to amend it. And those, again, shouldn't be great projects in that amendment process, but it might be okay to leave it here so that we can
Just look at those. So it'll be there for us to see every time. Okay, the next one is board elections. I didn't get ready for this time, so we're not all here anyways. Push that to next time. The next one is have a place to record future charter amendments. It should go into business model, shouldn't it?
I would think so.
So
should I remove that one?
What's that? We can't remove it until we have it on someone else's list. So let's leave it here until we have
until
a place to put it.
It's in the model or something.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go on to Suzanne for the director's report.
And as I'm saying, there's not a whole lot to report, but there's a whole lot going on. So I think we've had a very successful start to our new school year. We had fewer hiccups in the schedule change requests. We still have a schedule that we're working with to make sure that it's really going to benefit the kids the very best that it can. It's working well, I think, to have the separate junior high and high school bell schedules. We don't have everybody in the hallways at the same time. We have kids in junior high that get to have that core class every day, and so the teachers have enjoyed it. The kids seem to have benefited from it. And we're kind of watching for some of the data to come back to see where we are with everything. Building-wise, we have expanded into the south room. We've got the two rooms built for the music classrooms, and they've got doors on them now. So we're kind of pushing at the seams. Some of the classrooms are being underutilized, but we're not quite sure how to do anything different, because they have to be during some periods of the day. We have like three or four college classes running on the IVC and live, and so we've got two small offices upstairs that can house up to 10 kids, and we've got this one that can house up to 30, and so we've got...
Is this our largest?
This is the largest college class, yes, and that's what this room is there are college classes in here, not all day. So that would be the thing, just trying to utilize all of our space to its maximum benefit. We have a couple of teacher sharing classrooms because, a very part-time teacher is taking the classroom during the other teacher's prep. But so as far as that goes, we're using every locker that we have. We're expanding into the south. We might want to see what's up. We're kind of low on storage space for anything we have. We have extra instruments that the music teachers Yeah, I think they're using it, but maybe not during the school year, I'm not sure. But we're okay, and we fit, but I think it's not going to be too much longer before we're going to need to expand more. And kind of see where those expansions come in.
Yeah.
And then as far as financial, she'll do that. And I'm trying to go across in my mind, as we think of the org chart, I'm trying to go across and kind of report out on each of the, what we would call the vice president line in our org chart. So we have our budget and finance, which Kathleen will do. We have our college and career center, which Joni will do. And then we have our curriculum, which Joy will do, and Marie with the assessment and operations. And so facilities is one that we don't have here to report out, so that's why I report on that. And then, like I say, we're as far as enrollment goes, we are currently over-enrolled. Some of our kids are part-time kids, but bodies in our building right now on our system, it shows 461. And our enrollment cap is 450. But a few of those kids, I think, still need to be dropped from the system because we found that there are some who are not really attending, they intended to. So we're trying to clean up that to make sure that we're right where we need to be. And then come October 1, I anticipate those numbers to be really close to that 463 mark that we shoot for. And that's it.
Okay, we'll go to finance.
We are actually in the progress of our annual audit, so that's kind of been the focus on finance. The auditors were here 2 days last week, and one of the things that I wanted to see if we have a solution or see, I can't with your experience on the computer programming part, are one of the things that we ran into are we had some issues with our payroll reports. The way that we're getting them are making it really complicated to be able to get the data into QuickBooks. Really? And so then when the bank reconciliation was done, if it wasn't done right, then it created a problem. And then anyway, we've added a lot of hours for us, and the auditors were here a lot longer and didn't get as far this year.
So reporting is kind of...
So the reports that we're getting from the payroll reports are not as compatible, so we end up having to manually enter it. We're able to sort them. They've been able to give them in a slightly different format that makes it a little bit easier, but we're still doing a lot of manual entry. If we could just import them somehow.
If you can get a format of what that would look like, and then I could look at it, we could see what can work out.
Anyway, that's just something I wanted to make sure and bring up because it is going to change the amount of the audit. Will be different than what we originally budgeted because there's been an increase in hours, and so we're not finished yet either. So I wanted to bring that up. That's a change that will need to be considered on the budget process. One thing that was also brought up is our board meeting to approve the budget ended up being, I think July 9th? They said it really needs to be approved before July 1st. Is something that we need to make sure. As far as when we submit the information to the reporting sites, we have until the 15th, I believe, as far as submission. But they said it really should be board approved before July 1st. So they wanted to make sure that information got to the board members so that...
Can you put an item on the open points to just make sure that's on someone's calendar?
We can get that.
Who should that be put to?
Put me on the name, and it's probably should do the calendar.
So you can put my name on it. Still, we've been Aaron Andrews has. We've been training him to take some of the responsibility of finance, and so there's been a learning curve with that. Mm-hmm. But if we can get one thing that's been really helpful is he's been helping to better identify the processes that will make it more easily repeatable because some of these things that occur are only a once a year occurrence, but they're a large process, so making sure that we have all the steps there. So I think we'll be able to get a better budget projection earlier so that the board will have more time to review it earlier and we'll be able to meet that deadline. So we're moving in that direction. I just wanted to make sure that you guys had that information. And then the last thing is just the finance committee has just been working on the salary steps and lanes for the different positions, and that's been really helpful on, and I think that will also streamline the budgeting process for next year to make sure that that we're where we need to be in the year. So other than that, I did not bring any financial reports because we're kind of still in the middle. Nothing has... Anyway, I haven't been focusing on the current expenses as we wrap up. questions. If you have any questions or anything else.
That's good for me. Go to the governance committee update. We've been meeting with the data analyst, trying to get the automated business model set up. They actually have a model online right now, and they're working towards an application installed. The one that we were talking about for the conversation. We're actually working towards installing an application that will provide data for each of the board members. So we'll be able to look at the things, the different, in fact, the summary items that were included on the management reporting in the past. We want to automate all of those into the automated system. And eventually you'll be able to pull it up on your phone as a board member or a director and look at the numbers as they start pulling up, once it starts functioning. We're probably about 2 weeks away from the first one being operational. So we're hoping it'll be soon. At that point, we'll give logins. In fact, anybody can get a login now if you ask. Rebecca. And she can give you that into the model and look at what we have right now. Right now, you won't see much. The app's available. It's more of a website. So it's just, you pull it up on your browser, on your phone, or your computer. Eventually, though, you'll be able to pull up if we want it. Right now, we have one app in place that we're working on that will have, I think, more with the teacher, focused on the teacher results, the teacher MLPs, and getting them reported. Over time, we'll be able to add whatever focus we want. We should be able to pull data directly from the systems for grades. We can look at percentages. I mean, basically, if we allocate the resource to writing the app and whatever we decide is valuable, we can have them. So we're about 2 weeks away from the first version, and we'll see how it progresses. Other than that, I think we don't have any new policies to update. We did make some changes on the dress code enforcement recommendations. We probably need to write it up and put it in the format that we can approve it as the board. And Suzanne's already talked about some of those changes, even some of the ideas. I think the shift has shifted more towards, of course, enforcement is always there, but trying to make sure whatever we can, if it's at all possible, get every student in class in uniform. But doing that's the challenge. But anyway, I think that's about it for governance. Any questions or anything we need to focus on? If not, we'll move to the next item, and we'll go to assessment first.
We still don't have all of the reports from last year's testing. We have our ACT and we have 7th and 8th. Science and math. Mm-hmm. And everything else is projected to be available by September 15th. So I'll have a full report prepared then. I've already given out the ACT published reports, and I'll have a full report once we get everything from the state.
Anything that's coming up?
We do. There are going to be more benchmarks available. So 9th and 10th grade, all subjects will have benchmarks, and they did not have those last year. And so everything except 7th and 8th science will have benchmarks, and they won't for one more year.
Do they decide who they're going to contract with for testing?
So they're going to stick with RISE. It's the reporting company that's didn't work out. And they're going to go back to AIR, which is who was the reporting company for Sage. So it'll still be the RISE testing portal, but the reporting engine, and that's where all of the problems were, was on the reporting end of things. So students will see the same everything that they did last year, so they won't have something new or different or from before. It'll be what they had last year. And then the state's just going back with AIR, who they had previously with Sage.
Okay, anything else? Sure. Did you like the curriculum?
Yeah, so I just want to do a quick update. On the Love and Logic training was something that I coordinated with the grant that we got. We were able to work with another school to get that. And so we had a 2-hour parent night that was it was well attended. We have about 78 people here. Probably 10 of them were from the partner school we partnered with. And their locations are far from ours, and so they would have had to drive really far to come. So most of them were from our parents, and I had feedback forms that about half of them filled out. I think I got 30 back, so that they could get, because some of them were here to get daycare training credit for their daycares, home daycares. And then one of the questionnaires that I asked, you know, if they were interested in further training, because part of our grant is buying the 9 modules that you do throughout the year, so you teach 9 additional classes to parents, and everybody said yes, they all wanted the extra. And then we were able to record the training, as long as we don't post it publicly, and so we can make that available. I have made it available to our parents. I've had about as many people email me for that link as what actually attended, so I've got a lot of parents really supporting that, which is awesome, because then our teachers got a five-hour day training on it. And there's another separate curriculum to give our teachers support with 9 modules on how to implement the ideas in the classroom. So there's a lot of the other things we got with the grant as well, like a lending library with more things that they can read about on it, and just a lot of really awesome resources that we'll have throughout the year. And we got a lot of positive comments on everything. So that was really awesome start to the year. As far as the curriculum, so I was just going to briefly run through again. I don't remember how many of our board members have seen this already, but year one of our Vanguard's operation, then this is the basically curriculum packet, one piece of paper. I actually didn't have anybody turn this in, so we decided that this one would be a lot to ask for them in the first year, and so I got a 0% in my first year of buy-in and completion. Year two, then we had a packet. This was our packet that included the first iteration of the 180-day plan, a disclosure and a syllabus, and just a few other small items. This year, then I got about 15% completion on curriculum preparation packets. Year three, the packet increased from this to this, and this year I got over 50% completion of curriculum packets. The fourth year, which was last year, this was our packet, about 88% completion. And then this year, this last school year, as I've been able to teach less classes and focus more on curriculum, and then we got into researching best practices in curriculum, went to universities, looked at their curriculum development programs, found the best practices that are adopted by many universities, bought the books, and read them, and have been implementing them for this year's. And this year's course, so our course packet has just been a packet. Sometimes teachers turn them in binders, but this year every teacher will have a course management binder, and it's actually increased quite a bit from last year. Some of the pieces are like lesson plans is probably the biggest thing that we ask teachers to do this year. And in our main AVID training, then we did come up with a lesson plan template. And every teacher is using that template as they create their lesson plans. So you'll see the same pieces that were in there since the very first time, which started with this. This was the first 180-day plan. It's much more complex now and more useful. I have a lot of teachers who didn't feel like it would help them the first time around because it was a packet. And so it took them 2 to 3 years to adopt and use it. And once they started using it, they said this is their best teaching year ever. They and teachers who've taught many, many years before they even came to Factor. So this is what we're currently working on. Because it, I mean, we did add a lot and it is because we have teachers that are still working on it. Right now, I have asked department heads to let me know how close teachers are on the new packet, because this one is big. I did a workshop with teachers last Friday for anybody who didn't have it completed yet, just to help them get it set up into the binder and see what more they needed to do. We have about 90% of our 180 plans for this year complete, as far as what department heads told me today. But as far as having the entire new course binder done, then we're probably about 30 to 40% school-wide with the departments that reported back. But we are still working to get them in, and I let department heads know I'll probably be contacting them 2 to 3 times a week until we do have all of them in and all of them complete for this year. And then you'll see in my MRP, the summary sheet that I had turned in past years, so I'll make sure that's available with information per course as to what's complete and what's not. So I for this year, so that's just the course one. We also have to support it. And then we have department pieces that have MRP, a curriculum one, and then here's the curriculum director app, and my position binder that all incorporate ideas from best practices for curriculum in general. There's a lot more coming to just make it more of a program instead of just a packet that gets turned in and done. But I did start observations with our new AVID program. We've been really excited about all the training that we were getting through that and incorporating things through the summer. I tried a classroom observation form that they have. This went into 10 classrooms, and it really was awesome. I made copies for the teachers and put them in their boxes after, but pretty much every class that I went into, kids were actively engaged. Their classrooms were, they were set up, the kids were taking notes. I could see evidence of notes out, even if they weren't taking notes at the time. Teachers had something displayed on the board. They were using technology in the classrooms. Every classroom that I went into, behavior was perfect. The kids were learning. I mean, you could tell that there was a well-planned lesson. And it was just the first 10 classes that I happened to go to. And I go to classrooms every week. So it was really nice to go in and see that happen in the classrooms. Evidence of best practices were in every classroom that I went into. So I do plan to send out a weekly MRP to our board this year, and hopefully starting this Friday, or actually Monday is my MRP day, so whatever I collect from teachers either this Friday or next Friday will be in my weekly MRP.
So where does AVID fit in as far as the structure
of
Vanguard? Yeah.
It's a curriculum program.
And who's the most responsible to make sure it's functioning?
I actually think there's a triangle. It is really a curriculum program, so we need to treat it like all other curriculum programs and make sure that we get the benefit from it. But there's three people that are involved with it most right now, and that's, so our curriculum director is one. We have what's called an AVID school coordinator, and that's Catherine Johnson. And then we have an AVID district director, and that's Heidi. And so I'm not sure, I would say the school coordinator has the most responsibility, but it is a shared responsibility because curriculum has to make sure that it works in every class, because as the curriculum director, what we do is train every teacher on this inmate, mm-hmm. and then fit it into the existing curriculum structures, which is their 180-day plan. So we did reviews of 180-day plan. We asked them to list what AVID strategies are you using mm-hmm. in the study skills column.
So how could we have a report to the board to show if it's doing what they intended or how successful we are with it?
We could use the AVID observation if you wanted, and we could bring pieces of it to you if you want. I think the very best way to see if that is working is you have to actually see it being done in the classroom. Anything else is self-reporting. I might even have the extra copies. This AVID observation form, this is a content observation form designed for secondary, and it's actually like 5 pages long. I just tried out the first double-sided page, but I would think something like this that's recorded into a summary would tell you how well we're doing with AVID. I can pass that down. I think I have two copies of it. But I would think that that would be a good metric tool. Also, though, the one thing for habit implementation that we made at Summer Institute with the board was that sheet, and I didn't not remember what it was called, some kind of certification form where our board set the priorities for habit implementation. That would be another good or useful tool to measure how well we're doing this, if we've met those indicators that our board set for us there.
Is there like a list of things that are happening now with habit?
We had a list of what we expected to do, what we can.
Or how do we know that? I just seemed like we saw some really neat stuff there, but I don't know how much is.
So far, we made a list of what we were going to do. We haven't come back and evaluated ourselves yet and said if we are doing those things.
Who could be held responsible for that?
That's a good question.
The biggest part of the implementation is in the leadership classrooms, and because our leadership department head, if you want to call him that, and the avid school coordinator is both the same person, then that probably would be where you'd get that report, and that's Catherine Johnson right now.
Wonder if we could ask, could we request just even just a one-page summary that says, mm-hmm. Here, this, what's the status of avid in our school, and what, if we're getting any kind of, if we feel like we're being successful, and then should we do it again? Are we still thumbs up with it, or where are we feeling?
Do we need that as an open point, or no?
I think so. Probably. I think I can put on that. Just give us a quick, and not doesn't have to go in detail, just like one page, or I don't know. It'd be nice to know where we're at as a school with investment. So,
do I put that on Suzanne to get from Catherine, or from Joy?
Is that?
I think this is the year for policies and procedures. We finally have enough staff in there to where we have enough time to start creating and implementing our policies and procedures. In the counseling department, we now have 3 academic advisors, so there's a portion, I think it's like 45% of the counselor's job description is the college and career readiness plan, making students to plan their academics and career planning. And we now have 3 different advisors that we split that up between. And we're taking time to go through policies and procedures for the concurrent enrollment. We have a lot of students that are wanting to take classes. We have to look at our policies and say, okay, what is it that we do? We have an appeal process and a few things that are getting put in place to where a student feels like they can even have a say in their education and talk about what classes they'd like to take. The biggest thing that I saw this year is at the right before school started, right around registration time, all of us, the advisors, were working nonstop. For about 2 or 3 weeks. The day school started, the first 2 days of school, we had time to breathe. And that was the first time it's happened since Vanguard started. And it was amazing. Needless to say, but it was really nice to have that extra support and extra help so that, and even our schedule worked much better this year to where the students already had their schedule changes done. We had a few that needed to be done, but for the most part, it was taken care of. The concurrent enrollment classes, the IBC Snow College classes, are a little bit understaffed. We could use a little bit more in that area. And then our counseling department, which is ran by me, we're working on a student success team at risk and students in need. That is a process that's on my next step of things to do. We're still, again, looking at the academic advising policies and procedures, but now I'd like to start implementing and creating some of the student success team to look at the students in need. One other thing is the automated GPS plan summaries. We are working with our computer science teacher to get some of that stuff automated. It's kind of a slow process, but we're at least getting one step closer than what we were before, but that's something I would like to see just a little bit more. But other than that, I think that this year is a great improvement from last year's.
Any questions for the board? Okay, that's the last item on the agenda.
I motion to close.
Okay, all in favor of closing the board meeting, say yes. All opposed, say no. Okay, it's unanimous.
It's closed.